Welcome to the Creating Us podcast, hosted by the Office of Leader and Culture Development. I'm Jason.
And I'm Shelby.
And we're excited to be with you as we go on a journey across the Texas Tech University system. All right, here we go. Shelby, how are you today?
I'm doing good. It's raining and, well, not raining right now, but it was raining earlier today. And so that's always nice, even though it floods.
And you know, that's the thing. We were talking about that. It's like, man, when it rains and it gets cloudy and it's super dark, I have a hard time waking up. And rain just makes a mess of everything. But you know what? That is okay. I'm excited for our conversation today. This is going to be a good one. Just like everyone has been even better. No pressure to our guest who we're going to introduce in a second. But it's going to be a great conversation. So who are we talking to today, Shelby?
We're talking to Dondra Seacrest today, who is the TTU HSC School of Health Professions Dean. So how are you doing today, Dondra?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to be here. This is going to be fun. I've been looking forward to this interview.
Yeah. Well, we're excited for you to be on here.
Very much so. So, Dondra, I'm going to kick it off. What do we want to know about you?
That I love Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. I might be a little partial to the School of Health Professions, but I really try to do the one team approach across the whole enterprise. But I actually got my bachelor's degree in occupational therapy from Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. So I have been touting that school and that university for many years. I won't tell you exactly when I graduated, but it's been a while. And then I went into the clinic and became a supervisor in occupational therapy and realized that I had a passion for teaching. And so had an opportunity to come back, and I'm actually in my 23rd year here. So I've been in multiple roles throughout those 23 years, but I'm really enjoying my role right now as dean.
So School of Health Professions, it's made up of a lot, right? There's a lot of different things that you can do. Can you tell us a little bit more about the school and some of the program areas that you have under your umbrella?
Sure. So we have 21 different programs. So I feel like we embody one team because we really have that interprofessional built into our school. And so we have 5 different departments. So you'll see all different types of degrees, anything from healthcare management and leadership. We have speech language hearing sciences. We have our Department of Rehabilitation Sciences. We have our clinical counseling and mental health. We have our laboratory and primary care, which that in program is a little, it has like our PA program and our molecular pathology and our medical laboratory sciences. So we really have diverse programs. Over half of our students are online learners. And so that, you know, also throws it into the mix because we're always trying to make sure that we keep our students engaged, whether they're on campus or whether they're off campus. The other thing I would add is I think that we have just a phenomenal team. I mean, our faculty and staff and our students all work really well together. And it's just fun to watch all the creativity and all the innovative things that everyone's doing in our school.
Yeah. Well, I love that you are talking about one team, which is one of the values. And how do you utilize those values to kind of empower your team?
Yeah. I'm so thankful for the values. We, of course, we've always had our values. You know, we talk about that. But to have shared values has really been, to me, kind of a game changer in the fact that we can use similar terminology, right? So we all are on the same page. And it's one of those things that I feel like we try to live daily. And you'll see it in just the smallest gestures, which I really think that's where the values shine. I think a lot of people think, oh, you've got to do these big, grandiose things to show that you're living the values. When actually it's just every day, the little common things that you do. It also gives you an opportunity to say, you know what, I didn't live this value today. And I wish that I could go back and do that differently. And so it gives you the opportunity to go back to that person and say, you know what, I was reflecting and I want to just come back and clarify and make sure, because I don't think I left this conversation in the right place. And so it, but when you come back and say, I didn't seek to understand and I wasn't listening to your perspective, I just think that that shows a lot of value in how our relationships formed. And I think it just continues to make us a closer team. So it's not always about how great do you live them, but sometimes it's where did you fall short?
You know, one of the things that I love about that is, you know, when we talk about shared values at each of our universities and those guiding behaviors, it, yes, while we have them, we display them and portray them as, you know, these are the guiding, you know, kind of behaviors and values that we want to leverage as a university. It really is an individual choice to decide whether or not I'm going to integrate them into my practices and how I interact with somebody. So I really appreciate when you said it's those small gestures. And I agree that those are the things that are going to be the most impactful. The question I have, though, is, as you mentioned, 21 different programs. Needs are going to be different. You know, the requirements for the programs, your faculty and staff are going to need different things, whether it's lab, it's spaces, it's classrooms, all this stuff. As a dean, how do you manage that? How do you, and we can incorporate the values in this if you would prefer, however you want to, you know, talk about this, but how do you manage 21 different programs and all the different needs that are present?
So first of all, I don't do it alone. That's the biggest, I think, take home message. I always tell my team they make me look good because you have the right people in the right places. And I think that that's been the key to the success of our school is I don't know what I don't know. And so, but I have people in places that can show me where some of the holes are or where some of the opportunities lay. And so, you know, I don't know finances forward and backwards. I'm very well versed in our budget. I do understand finances, but that's Claudia's role and she's phenomenal at it. And so I believe, you know, I just have some really strong team members who just excel in the different, whether it's an associate dean, whether it's an assistant dean, whether it's a department chair, whether it's a program director, whether it's a regional dean, whether it's our staff, you know, they are so, you know, technology. Oh my gosh, I don't know what I would do without Fabian and his team. They, you know, I think we're finally beyond the, did you turn your computer on and off? And, you know, they've known that before I contact them, I have tried that method. But I think it takes, you know, I think like the saying, it takes a village, but it's really about having the right people on the bus. And to kind of go back to your, you know, to tie it into the values, I think all of these people buy into the values. And so it's one of those things too, where I hope that I've created a space where people can be comfortable coming forward and saying, you know, I'm a little concerned about this decision or that decision, or have you thought about this? And so I feel like we've created an environment where people feel safe to question things, because I would much rather you question me than have to be questioned by the provost or the president because I didn't think through something. And then it goes back to that really listening to understand the perspective too. And at the end of the day, I can't give everybody everything that they want, but I do believe that they know that I've made the best decision I can with all of the information available to me at that time. And I'm going to lean on my values to make those decisions.
You know, as you were saying, you know, you don't do it by yourself. I don't know where I saw this, whether it was LinkedIn or some other article, but it said great leaders surround themselves with people who are smarter than them. You know, it's like, you're not, just because you're a leader doesn't mean you're going to be an expert in everything. So it's not that you need to be that. You just need to have the right people in the right spot so that they can be the expert in that.
And yeah, so I love that quote. I have also seen it recently somewhere. And I just think it's really important. I mean, it's not your job to be the smartest person in the room. But I try to find the smartest people, or sometimes it's not even the smartest people. Sometimes it's the people that live the values. I mean, it's a combination, right? Because unfortunately, I've been around some really smart people that don't live the values. And so interacting with them and trying to create a team environment is really challenging. And in those situations, sometimes we just agree that maybe this isn't the best place for them. And it's okay for them to move on. And it's okay for me to help grow them to move somewhere else. I mean, it's not about keeping people in our school. It's about really just creating that team environment.
There are two points that I want to call out. And the first one is when you said, I'd rather be questioned by those, and I'm going to paraphrase now, those inside my team versus questioned by those outside. I think that's a very powerful statement because many times, when we talk about building effective teams and we think about the interactions and the relationships. So, like when we talk about team relationships, this is exactly what we're talking about. We want to be protective of our culture, knowing that when I'm questioned by those inside, I'm going to listen because I'd rather hear it there than being at a table in front of others and going, oh, I never even thought about that. And we've got team members going, well, I could have told you that, right? I mean, what value is there in that? So I just think that was a very, very powerful statement. And then you had mentioned about the value. Sometimes it's okay for them not to be a part of this team. And, when we talk about culture and we've been having this conversation for some reason quite frequently is, your culture is going to equal the behaviors that you allow. And so having that expectation that our values are going to inform us, they're going to drive us, I think is just so powerful as a leader. So where does that come from? Who has influenced you? What are the lessons that you've learned? I know I'm throwing a lot here at it, but I just would love to know where has this come from?
So I think it comes, I would say I would go back as far as to say my parents and just how I was raised. And then I would just say that I was fortunate to have some really great mentors along the way that I was able to watch. And interesting about that too is not only mentors, but then I also watched how people who were, I'm not going to call them leaders because they're not who I would have considered a leader, but they were in what would maybe be a leadership position and did some really, I thought, shady things. And so I also learned what I don't want to look like as a leader. And so I've had a lot of experiences along the path to show me, and how do you want to treat others? I mean, at the end of the day, isn't that kind of what we're talking about with values? And, how do you want to be treated? How do you want to treat others? And so a lot of observing, I would say, as I've gone through life. More recently, I would say that the President Rice Spearman, she was the dean for the School of Health Professions prior to me becoming dean. And then she, as we know, has moved up in the organization, but really watching her. But one of the things that I really admired about her, and it's one of those things that in the moment I was frustrated, but I could circle back around later and appreciate it. But she would, I knew when she called me to her office and said, I have an opportunity for you. I always knew, oh no, I'm in trouble. I mean, not bad, but it was like, oh, she's going to give me something challenging, to work through. And she's going to be there to guide me, but she really wants me to do it and see how I can do it. And I remember coming home sometimes and telling my husband, Calvin, oh my gosh, does she not know that I don't have the skills to do this? But understanding now, looking back, I did have the skills. I just didn't have the experience to go to use the skills in that moment. And so, really watching her and appreciating the time that she invested in me, because I never really had formal leadership training. So, it's one of those things where I would always do whatever other people didn't necessarily want to do, and then you find yourself right just kind of moving up, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh wow, I'm not junior faculty anymore. I'm not, because it's a process. It's not just one day you wake up and think that. And then I believe that, she really, it was important to her for all of the people that were in any kind of administrative position to get the formal leadership training. So it started with her. And I think that really then is when my toolbox grew. I think I had a lunchbox and then I got the leadership training and then I had a toolbox, and It's just something that I even now today, I love the leadership development. I love the training. I mean, I loved Jason, all the One Team fellows to me. I know I served in an advisory position, but it was every session I got something out of it. And I can go back and hear those sessions again and get something else out of it. And so it's that ability to now, I feel like a huge responsibility to make sure that I'm doing that for the next generation or for the next leaders in our school. Am I giving them the tools that they need to be able to move into the positions that we need them to move into in the future, whether it's at our university or it's at a different university? And I'm very sincere about that. If the opportunity that the person needs isn't within our school, is it outside our school where they can stay in the university? Or is it okay for them to go to another university and talk about how great Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center is and how, you know, we are living our values of kind-hearted and helping them to find where they want to go on their path because it's their path.
You know, you've got those leaders who are coming up that you're trying to shape into whatever, you know, growth that they want to have. What advice would you give them as a leader, as a new leader?
As a new leader, I would really encourage them to have a mentor. Or even an executive coach. I would say that an executive coach has been a game changer for me too. You have that neutral person that you can talk to where you can really be open about how do I handle this situation? And so I would really encourage them to have even multiple mentors. And then I would encourage them to go to a lot of leadership development, any kind of training that looks interesting to them. But I also think as a new leader, you've got to understand too, where are your growth opportunities? I know, you know, in the past it was weaknesses, but I like to think of them more as growth opportunities. But where are you lacking maybe some skills? And then be more intentional about finding some training or some opportunities, as the president would say, to enhance those skills. So it really is about being insightful and knowing who you are and being truthful with what do you need to develop.
So last week, and I want to build off of what you were saying, which is why I'm moving around on my desk, grabbing things, because you just made, there's so many great connections here. You know, I think one of the big things is we're always learning. You know, when we talk about what does it mean to be a leader at the Health Sciences Center, what does it mean to be a leader at Midwestern State, at ASU and El Paso, at TTU, and just at the system, we're always learning and we're finding new ways that we can apply our values, et cetera. Two things that you mentioned, though. One, mentoring. And I came across this resource last week when I was at a conference. I had an opportunity to talk with this author and listen to a keynote that she gave. But Dr. Ruth Gotian wrote a book. It's called The Success Factor. And she is an expert on mentoring and finding your passion. And I call it out because her approach to mentoring, I've never heard before, and I like it. And I really like it because I think it sets some really clear expectations. Yeah, I was mentioning even yesterday with a group that, you know, we talk a lot about mentoring, and I've seen organizations, and not that I'm down on it, but I've seen organizations say, oh, we've got a mentoring program, but how long do those last? You know, unfortunately, this is one of those difficult things you can't force, right? It needs to be organic. And so I am calling out Dr. Gotian's book because, again, I love, love, love her model. And she does a lot of work around passion. So I would encourage anyone to check that out. The other one around coaching is Kevin Wilde. He's a faculty member at the University of Minnesota, and he wrote a book, Coachability, The Leadership Superpower. He was another presenter at this conference I was at. And one of the things he talks about is his study and his research is around when individuals are the most coachable by age, position, and all of that. And so I really want to emphasize the point you made about finding an executive coach early. Because he, in his research, he talks about, you know, certain ages that it, at a certain point, and this makes sense, at a certain point, hey, you've been in your career long enough, you've been successful, why do I need a coach, right? Because I've been successful up to this point. And so, again, great research, great work out of that one, would highly recommend it. I'll include these in the show notes afterwards, but You know, again, I think the key thing is we're always learning, right? Trying to figure out what's the best way to grow. So as we wrap up our time together, you know, Dondra, again, I've loved this conversation. I wish we could go on and on and on, but what would you want to leave individuals with?
I just think interpersonal relationships and building trust are what's going to create great teams and great leaders. And as part of that trust is integrity. And so really knowing that you're walking the walk and not just talking the talk, because everyone's watching you. And so I just think it's so important that you have that as a foundation, and you have to work through the trust. It's easy to sit there and say, oh, we all trust each other. But I mean, we still have opportunities in our school that we're working through with our teams. And when you break the trust, it's so hard, right, to get that trust back. So I would just really encourage the idea of teamwork, one team. I embrace one team so much. And then to pay it forward. So if someone's been you've gotten where you've got in a leadership position because someone has helped you along the way. And so I think that's important too, that you are then paying it forward to others.
Yeah. Well, Jason, any last thoughts?
I can't add really to that. I just think what a wonderful, it's just a very real perspective. Mm-hmm. And it can be hard at times to get that point across. And so I greatly appreciate the viewpoint and kind of the transparency that you had with that, Dondra. And I just think it's, again, we just takes, these just get better and better. And I just thought this was, I just thought this was fantastic. Just the insight that you provided is just so valuable. So all I can really add to it is thank you.
Oh, yep. Well, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, I want to thank you also. And I just have loved learning more about you, Dondra. So I really appreciate you coming and being willing to sit here with our questions.
Sure. Anytime.
Yep. Well, for any other comments or questions, email me at shelby.jolly@ttu.edu. Until next time, I'm Shelby.
And I'm Jason.
See you later.